Trying to protect his port.
For those of you watching live stream, it's not an earthquake.
It's just Jetty.
I got a new battery, so it makes...
All right.
There we go.
Sean, you want to put the headphones on? I'll do a little tap test on this.
All right.
Great. All right, page 378 in the hymn book. 378, Stand Up for Jesus. You can remain seated. Christian soldiers. This one goes out to Sister Janice. She informed me some time ago this is her favorite hymn. Onward, Christian soldiers. We'll ask you to stand as we sing. To BBF Ohio at protonmail.com. If you're here kicking and breathing in the flesh, we got prayer cards up front. If you raise your hand, Janie, I'm sure, would be happy to bring you one. And we have pencils if you need those.
This coming to Christ?
And we lift up the prayer request when we shut off the live stream so that we keep those more private and don't air them out on the internet. There's your reminder to silence your cell phone, ringer, so that you don't have to sing a solo. should say that some of you are crazy enough to do it on purpose.
Not me.
All right. Just letting you know, we're getting ready to close up the donations for Bibles this month. On the back marker board back there, you see it's $1,659 that we've given to the Bible ministry. These go to Christians mostly. And if anybody, though, asks for a Bible, they'll give it to them. It goes through local churches, and the pastor and the local church distribute these Bibles, and many of these people have never owned a Bible before in their life.
Wow.
And if you ever seen a video of someone over, this is in South America, and there's other places where they give Bibles to people who have never owned a Bible before, and you just see it on their face. It's something we take for granted. But we want to show our thankfulness to the Lord by providing Bibles to others. By the way, if you give toward that, just mark it on the envelope or on your memo of your check that you're giving toward the Bible ministry, and it'll go toward that. We're going to begin with our current events update and ask everyone to hold your question and comments to the end. Current events update. They want your guns to take the rest of your liberties.
Yep.
All other liberties hinge on the Second Amendment in this country. Amen. If you go to any country where they have taken the guns, you will find they've taken their liberties.
Yep.
Here are the facts that you will not hear presented by most mainstream sources, whether it's news or entertainment, doesn't matter, in the public schools, wherever. If we really care about children in this country, then in our public schools, we would teach them the facts about guns, including gun safety.
Amen.
And instead, they just tell children to be irrational and fear guns. And that's the wrong approach. 92% of mass shootings since 2009 have occurred in gun-free zones. Just think, if you have a clear mind and you can think right now. When you walk up to a building, especially a school building with, in some cases, hundreds of young people and teachers and everyone else, and it says on the front, this is a gun-free zone. What you're telling any lunatic or wicked person, if they want to kill a bunch of people, that's the best place to be.
Yeah.
See, it lacks all common sense. I played a clip from Ronald Reagan back in like 1983, and he said, you know, gun control laws all have one thing in common. They're all ignored by criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said he had personal experience.
He had personal experience with that.
Yeah.
So there's the facts. A 2013 U.S. Department of Justice study found that gun violence had fallen by nearly 50% since its 1993 peak. You see, they're trying to make you think that there's like an increase in gun violence and everything. Listen, we're in a world with 7.5 billion people. There's 325 to 350 million people just in America. You're going to have everything happen almost daily.
Yeah.
So then the news media can take anything they want and then turn it into a, you know, oh, crisis. We have a crisis. Think about it. When you see the next crisis, go do a little research and you'll find out nothing actually changed. We've had the same things happen over and over for decades. They just decided now's the time to make it a crisis. And they create these crises so that they can take your liberties from you. That's the whole point of it. Guns are used 2.5 million times a year in self-defense in the United States. There are people not killed, people not raped, businesses and homes not robbed every year because of guns.
Amen.
And if they weren't guns, then your country would be like all the countries where there aren't guns, where anybody at any time can use a gun to do anything they want. The following countries enacted gun bans before committing genocide in the 20th century. Ottoman Turkey, the Armenian genocide. Soviet Union. Nazi Germany, Communist China, Guatemala, Uganda, Cambodia.
Yep.
Every one of those countries People like you were murdered, but they first took away the guns. And then after they took away the guns, they slaughtered people by the millions. That's how serious this is. So those are the facts. There's a bunch of sources, crimeresearch.org, bjs.gov, cato.org, mercyseat.net, a bunch of different places. We can give you those if you want to do some more research on that, where this all this information can be found. In the meantime, your government is purchasing murdered baby body parts. Did you know this?
Yeah. Wow.
Your government is using taxpayer money to purchase baby parts from murdered babies. Body parts from murdered babies. This came in the email from Judicial Watch with Tom Fitton. More shocking details of FDA purchases of fetal tissue. Agency wanted fresh, shipped on wet ice, fetal organs.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Folks, that is Nazi Germany in America.
That's right.
It's the Food and Drug Administration federal agency.
And that's taxpayer money being used. They spend taxpayer money to murder unborn children, and then they use taxpayer money to buy body parts. And that's the government who's also using this pandemic that isn't a pandemic in order to scare you, in order to take control of your economy.
Yeah.
The survival rate for anyone under the age of 70 who's healthy is over 99.9%.
Amen.
Amen.
But if you won't turn off the news and you won't stop listening to these liars, they can scare you into walking around with a mask on. Even when you're walking your dog by yourself, sitting in your car all by yourself with a mask on. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
People riding their bikes, people out jogging with a mask on. Folks, it doesn't get any dumber than that. Now, if you are one of the people who are in those, if you're over 65 or so, you have underlying conditions. I don't fault you for wearing a mask. I don't fault you for social distancing, doing whatever you can. But I'm talking about the other 99% of society who is being shut down, having their businesses destroyed, having their lives ruined. People are committing, the suicide rate's going through the roof. All because of a fictitious pandemic. And then they want you now to take a COVID vaccine that isn't a vaccine.
Yeah.
It's experimental gene therapy. And after you take the vaccine, you will still need to wear your mask. You will still need to social distance. We will still need lockdowns. Why? Because it's not a vaccine. And it doesn't keep you from getting COVID. It's just supposed to help your body create proteins to attack the spikes that are on the COVID molecule, etc. And it's not working very well. And you have thousands of people getting blood clots, anaphylactic shock, hundreds of people in the United States, hundreds of people in the UK, hundreds of people in other countries are dying after getting that shot.
Yep. That's right.
All a shot that's going to make some people rich who are already filthy rich.
Yep.
Folks, we are being played as a society right now. There are a handful of people with the guts to stand up and say something about it. But most people are showing this world is ripe and ready for the Antichrist.
That's right.
They are ripe and ready. Because
right.
When he comes along, it'll be a real crisis.
Yeah.
Things are really going to be bad. And if you don't take that mark, you'll starve. You won't be able to work. All this vaccine passport stuff, it's not the mark of the beast, but it's laying the groundwork for the mark of the beast.
That's right.
And anybody pushing mandatory vaccines is a Nazi.
Yep.
Go read the Nuremberg Code. The Nuremberg Code says pushing a mandatory vaccine is a violation of your human rights.
Amen.
The sale of body parts harvested during abortions is not generally understood, certainly not the gruesome details of the transactions, but more grotesque details emerge in 575 pages of records that the Judicial Watch team had received from the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, showing the agency spent tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars to buy human fetal tissue from California-based Advanced Bioscience Resources, ABR. The tissue was used in creating humanized mice to test biologic drug products. Humanized mice using baby parts. Your government. Meanwhile, your president is selling out Israel. Israel betrayed. Biden administration resumes aid to Palestinians despite pay for slay. What that means is this. The Palestinians pay their murderers who kill Jews. If you're a suicide bomber, your family gets a check when you kill Jews.
Wow.
And now your tax money is going to pay for that.
That's just weird.
Wow.
Thank you, Beijing, senile, reprobate, wicked Biden.
Yeah.
You need to pray for your president. He's not only going to hell, but I believe he might be too far gone, reprobate.
Yeah.
But he's going to take this country with him. And we need to pray for him. And I don't say this with any pleasure. I'm saying because it's a reality. If you're going to do something for God, you better do it now.
Yeah.
Amen. America's days are numbered.
Yep.
The night comes when no man can work. That's right.
Yep.
So with that bit of positive thinking.
Yeah. Did you hear about 2 days ago or 3 days ago in Canada, I think it's Alberta, there was a pastor having services, and the Canadian government sent in the health inspector to close him down with five armed guards.
Oh, is that the one that got surrounded by fences until they can learn to be healthy?
The pastor threw him out. He got mad and threw him out because they did not have the right.
But didn't they go back and put a fence around it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the one that they then fenced until they can learn to be healthy.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, it is. It is scary for especially those who aren't saved and ready. Those of us who are saved, you know what? We could possibly have to suffer for Christ. That's not a popular thing to tell you, but it's true. It's been going on for 2,000 years. You go to places like Saudi Arabia, go out and hand out gospel tracts on the streets of Saudi Arabia and see what happens to you.
Yeah.
China and those places. It's just now starting to come here. But it's been here a while. Grace, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was going to say, not only are they using the fetal tissue for testing in the development of the vaccines, but for the development of the cell lines, I don't know if that's what that means, but this LifeSite News, which is a life organization, they said that sometimes they use dozens and dozens of fetuses, and some of them are older than 3 months old.
Mm-hmm.
They have to use those to develop the cell lines.
Yeah.
And it can take dozens and dozens to even just for one vaccine. Not every single vaccine, I guess, has that in it, but some of the vaccines even have fetal DNA.
That's right. Yeah, we showed some of that information a few weeks ago, and I think LifeSite News was our source for that. And go online and look it up. You can look that up, Drake. Right?
Going back to the gun control thing, one of the main arguing points that gun control have gets used is Australia. They use Australia gun buyback program as an argument to say, oh, gun control can work. Well, what they're ignoring is the fact that gun control was already, gun crime was already starting to kind of waver or lower before the gun buyback program was even implemented. So basically, it was a bandage on an already healing wound.
And there's still terrible things happening to the unarmed or disarmed. You know. Freedom, did you want to say something?
Yeah. What's got to do with the vaccine and COVID? I mean, we're fine until COVID came. I mean, what's got to do with that? I know that some people are trying to take the vaccine, and I know that some people are still allowing to take the vaccine. I don't see that.
Mm-hmm. We're fine now. We were not only fine till COVID came, but we're fine now. But they're scaring everybody. That's the whole point, is they're scaring people into doing that.
Well, to compare with it, I mean, first, Donald Trump was president. Now we're all about
it. Yeah. Yeah. Rick?
In the Nuremberg Code, I was going to mention that too, that in Australia, who doesn't have gun rights, they are mandating that if you don't get the vaccine, you will not be able to go to work already.
Yeah.
And they have no gun laws there for the citizens.
Where is that at?
In Australia. I have two contacts in two different parts of Australia that our listeners might be listening now, or they'll listen when they get out of bed later. But they both are talking about how they just are totally in a tyrannical situation right now. Chuck, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just have to apologize. I have to disagree with the statement that, you know, things couldn't get much dumber than seeing somebody walking with a mask. I'm looking forward to the day where I see somebody swimming laps in the pool with a mask.
Yeah. Now, well, yeah. I actually had a photo, and they claimed it was an authentic. She was doggy paddling with the mask on in the.
Well, there you go.
One more, Johnny.
Hey, I was just wanted to. This was just reminded of the. That it will probably, you know, whatever the crisis is going to be, where they finally get everyone to go over to the Antichrist and do their one world order. And it's just interesting to note that, as far as I can tell, it's been perilous for a good many years. Because, like, I remember listening to the radio, you know, probably 15 years ago now, and I know, you know, back then it was mainly Glenn, and he was already mentioning a whole lot of things that could destroy the country.
Well, let me remind you, this has been an effort all since Nero.
Yeah.
But the reason why it's never fully succeeded is because there's one missing ingredient, and that is God's will.
Amen.
God's going to allow this to happen at some point, and he's going to work it out according to his plan.
Yes.
So that's why you don't have to be freaked out about this, folks. We win.
Amen.
If you don't know that yet, then read the back of the book, book of Revelation. And,
good song about,
yeah, there's a good song about that. But right now, it's no different. There's always been men who want to control everybody and take over the world and everything, but it will not happen fully and completely until it's the Lord's time. So with that, let's go ahead and open with prayer. We'll get into our Bible study today. We're glad to have everybody with us, some visitors, and some not really new visitors, but it's good to see good folks again. And we're going to get into Luke chapter 11. We'll ask Brother John if you would open Bible study prayer.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, that you sent Christ into the world. That he gave his life for us. And Lord, that through the gospel of Christ, each and every one of us has the opportunity of being saved. And Lord, it is the Great Commission. And Lord, I know the greater I understand your word, the greater I understand the need of the unsaved people to have Christ as their Savior. We just pray this morning, Lord, to be merciful to us. Lord, remember our frames are but dust. And Lord, we've failed so many times to try to live up to the gospel of Christ. I just pray, Lord, for a renewing of your spirit this morning in each of our hearts. And Lord, grant us your great grace again to walk and follow the Lord. And Lord, as we sang this morning about being a soldier, it is a fight, Lord. It is war out there. Yes. And we need your help to understand that and to go forward on our knees. We represent so many unsaved loved ones in our midst here today, Lord. We pray for your power and your spirit, Lord, that give us the intestinal fortitude to share the gospel of Christ with them. And boy, how we need your help in these last days. Be merciful to us now. Bless your word each of our hearts. And even though it's a small group, Lord, what is small in our hands, it can be great in your hands. May we serve you today. In the name and through the blood of Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're in Luke 11. We're going to read verses 21 to 23, the title of our message today. He that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me is against me. Luke 11, 21 to 23. So if you're there, let's read, beginning verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So I want to set the stage this morning with this quote from J.C. Ryle. I just want you to look at that beard for just a moment.
What a beard. I wish I had one like that.
Yeah. 20th century fundamentalists tried to rob us of our facial hair. We're taking it back. Amen. The subject of these words of Christ is mysterious but deeply important. They were spoken concerning Satan and his agency. They throw light on the power of Satan and the nature of his operations. They deserve the close attention of all who would war the Christian warfare with success. Next to his friends and allies, a soldier ought to be well acquainted with his enemies.
Amen.
Now, some people get a little overboard on this and they know more about Satan than they do Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't want to go that far.
Amen.
But you should know what the Bible tells us about Satan.
Amen.
He closes his quote, this is J.C. Ryle still, "We ought not to be ignorant of Satan's devices."
Amen.
And ignorance of Satan's devices is usually how Christians fall. The unsaved don't need to fall. They're already fallen. Satan will try to keep them from listening to the gospel and being confronted with that truth. But Satan spends a lot of his time. By the way, Satan can only be at one place at one time. He's not omnipresent like Jesus. He is limited, but he has an unknown number of cohorts. We call devils, plural.
Amen.
And so it might be one of those devils working on you in your life right now. He using Satan's devices to try to pull you away from your relationship with the Lord and pull you into a mindset of the world. That's happening to too many Christians today. Christians are being pulled away from the Lord and pulled into the world.
Yep.
So verse 21 there says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. So the strong man here is Satan. A strong man armed. Satan is a strong man and he is armed. Now the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual. And Satan is a spirit being. And his weapons are spiritual. And that's where a lot of folks, they just rely too much in the flesh and not on the spirit. And that's how Satan's able to undermine their relationship with the Lord and cause them to fall. Again, let's tap J.C. Ryle's writings. He says, he has snares of every kind and engines of every description. He knows exactly how every rank and class and age and nation and people can be assailed with most advantage. The devil is well armed.
Yeah.
So verse 21 again says, a strong man armed keepeth his palace. And in this case, that palace is the heart of man.
Yeah.
Your heart is a palace. Satan wants to occupy that palace.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to get into an argument this morning over this, that Christians, there's some Christians who believe that because they're saved, they can never be possessed by the devil. I disagree. And people will say, well, it's the Holy Spirit in you. How can the Holy Spirit will not reside with a foul spirit? I got news for you. He already does. He's dwelling with your foul spirit. You still have a sinful nature.
Yep. Amen.
You still have to battle that sinful nature.
Amen.
And it's as simple as this. Your body is a tent.
Yep.
It's up to you to fill that tent with God.
Amen.
But God doesn't force himself on you. So you had better fill that tent with God and not with the devil.
Amen.
But You can be as deceived as you want on this, but I love you enough to tell you this. If you fill your mind and your heart, you fill your ears and your eyes with satanic garbage, then you are allowing the devil in.
Yeah.
And I believe a huge number of professing Christians today have a devil in them. They have opened themselves up to possession. Now, there are a lot of people who like to argue and say, well, I think that's oppression. Fine, believe that if you want, but that suggests that he can only war from the outside. But right here, we're talking about him possessing a palace, which would mean he's inside.
Yep, that's right.
And it explains what we're seeing today. Folks, every man who stands in the pulpit today and denies that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, denies that Jesus Christ was sinless, denies that Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the world when he died on the cross, shedding his blood, denies that Jesus was bodily resurrected from the grave. You say, where are they doing that? All over the place.
Yeah, that's right.
Then you add on that a pastor, a preacher stands in the pulpit and says that two men or two women can be married. And that preacher perform a wedding so-called ceremony for two men or two women, you're looking at a devil.
Amen.
That fake preacher has a devil in them.
Amen.
Maybe they were never saved. There's an awful lot of people who made a profession, were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who went out and even preached the gospel. And now look at them. Some of my own blood are serving the devil today.
Yeah.
And I pray for them. When I get a chance, I confront them. And you're not doing anybody any favors by pretending that they're not given over to the devil. Their heart, their palace has been taken over by a strong man. Satan. Now, the unregenerate heart is the abode of Satan. There's a special type of devil possession we read about in the Bible where a person is so lost and given over to Satan that they lose control completely, and they hang out in the cemetery naked and foam at the mouth and all kinds of throw themselves in the fire. But see, if you think that's the only way or form that devil possession reveals itself, you're being fooled. There are plenty of devil-possessed people who get up every morning and put on a suit and tie and go to work and do the job that they're set to do. You want to see the devil come out in them, maybe you need to know them more personally. You see what's going on in their home. See what they do in their personal life. You can go on certain websites every single day. Dozens of people who do not appear to be controlled by the devil, and yet then they're arrested for possessing child pornography and watching child pornography where children are abused, and they watch that stuff for enjoyment.
Yeah.
Folks, the day before that, they were in a suit or they were in a uniform or, you know, scrubs, whatever. Some of them put on a collar, the priestly garb. Some of them wear a robe on Sundays. Yes. How many of you, or here locally, folks watching online may not know about it, but here locally, a weatherman, we just never would have dreamed. Clean cut, suit and tie, considered one of the, cream of the crop of society until he was caught. You don't judge a book by the cover, amen?
Amen.
The unsaved have a false peace until confronted with the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
See, your job, now this is going to shock some of you. Because, you know, if you've been listening to the wrong people for years and reading the wrong books and things. But your job, and I'm talking to all, if you consider yourself a Christian, you're saved, born again, believer in Jesus Christ, your job is to cause division. Did you know that? Jesus himself said, "Think not that I come to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword. Division." What do you mean? Not just run around causing trouble. I mean, if you just run around causing trouble, shame on you. You only have to do one thing for most of the people in your life to hate you.
Yeah.
Just preach the gospel.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
All you have to do is go up to that unsaved relative and preach the gospel. Go up to that unsaved neighbor, preach the gospel. Go up to complete strangers, put it on the bumper of your car. You'll see it.
Yeah, amen.
I'm here to tell you, if you don't feel like there's a bunch of people that don't like you and hate you and would rather not be around you, you're just not doing it right.
Yeah.
I've said this many times. Jesus did it right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Does everybody agree?
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
What did they do to Jesus?
Killed him.
They killed him. Johnny?
Could I mention here, I think the emphasis here is not that Jesus is saying his goal is to create division, but he's saying it will cause division.
Well, it's
the goal is to,
the goal
try
is,
to bring people to the Lord.
The goal is to preach the gospel and bring people to the Lord, but knowing that few there be that go in there at, then you know you're doing it right when most people get sick of you.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I always have to say, it doesn't mean, you're calling them at 2 a.m.
Right.
You're not standing outside at, midnight clanging pans and yelling, I'm just talking about in the course of your normal day, you're preaching the gospel.
That'll get you arrested.
Huh?
That'll get you arrested.
Yeah, that'd also get you arrested.
Unless you're in Portland.
In Portland, yeah, you'd be part of the neighborhood there. So if you want to be liked, just don't love people enough to present the gospel message.
Yeah.
You'll be liked.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the most popular preachers. All but a couple of cases, the most popular preachers tell everybody what they want to hear. They don't call on sinners to repent. They don't tell them Jesus is the only way, and if you don't repent and believe the gospel, you're going to hell. You won't hear that come out of their mouth. But if you preach the gospel, you won't be liked. So if your goal in life is to be liked, just talk about the weather. Don't talk about politics, by the way. Talk about anything else. But if you do love sinners, introduce them to the stronger man.
Amen.
You see, we read about the strong man, verse 21. But look at verse 22. And by the way, I got to show you this. This is a great way to fellowship, too.
Aww.
Brother Dre and I went out Friday, and we went up north in the Worthington Woods area and passed out 100 of those tracts. You can see that we put a rubber band on them, and we handed them to a few people. About half of them rejected them. About half of them took them.
Yeah.
And you take a little rubber band, you put it on the doorknob, and it hangs right there on the doorknob. And a good way to fellowship, too. And that's how we found out Tim Hortons was closing at 2 p.m. in some locations. Because of the COVID thing, I guess they're having trouble getting people to work or something. We pulled up at 2:05, and they were closed. 2:05 p.m.
Wow. They're lost.
Yeah, they're lost. That's right. But look at verse 22 now. We were introduced to a strong man. Look what it says in verse 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him. That's another thing to remember about Satan. He likes to fool people and make them think he's stronger than he is. Satan is not comparable to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is Almighty God in human form when he came to die for sins. Satan is a created being in rebellion, and he's very limited in his power. Yes.
You didn't talk about the end of that verse.
I'll come to that.
21, where it says his goods are appeased.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. So verse 22, the strong man is confronted with a stronger than him. And what's it say he'll do? Shall come upon him and overcome him. And by the way, that last part of that verse was what I meant when I was talking about how they do have a false peace. His goods are in peace. but it's a false peace. And then when the stronger man comes, that's Jesus. And you present that stronger man, that's when all of a sudden the peace crumbles. That really is what it's about, folks. You need to help people understand that their ideas are false. Mm-hmm. Only God's word is true. Amen. And you walk up to somebody, you say, are you saved? People will tell you, yes, I'm saved. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, I believe in Jesus. Have you received Christ? Oh, I received Christ. You need to ask what they mean.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people mean that they've been baptized. I'm sorry, baptism is what you do because you're saved, not in order to be saved. There are people who say, I've received Christ. You know what they mean?
They eat it.
If they're Roman Catholic, they mean they took the wafer.
Yep.
They eat them.
Candles.
Doug?
I'm not going to say this in a weird sense, but I'm saying this as going out witnessing that sometimes you have to be a fruit inspector with a joy, love, peace, kindness, long, yet you have to find out where the people are at, because some people are say that they're Christians and then they're living like they're going to hell, you know. So you have to kind of
well, and that's what the most when you don't have time to get to know people, but when you talk to them and they say, I believe in Jesus, I received Christ, you have to ask them what they mean.
Exactly.
And like I said, a Catholic, if they're a good Catholic, they believe they receive Christ when they receive the wafer.
Wow.
Church of Christ and Mormons and others believe they receive Christ when they're baptized. And you know what? There's only one way to receive Christ, and that's by faith in the gospel.
Amen.
So no matter what answer you get, if it's not by faith in the gospel, as we have on the wall there, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's how you receive Christ, is by receiving him as your crucified, risen Savior. And when Jesus moves in, that's when Satan moves out. The unsaved person has an emptiness. You've heard people talk about the God-shaped vacuum. Mm-hmm. That's a good way of putting it, I think. Before you know Christ, you're empty. Yeah. And there's a vacuum. What that means is you can try to fill it with whatever you want, and you just hear that giant sucking sound. Use Ross Perot terminology there. There's only one thing that can fill that vacuum. It's God-shaped. Who can fill it? God. So your Savior had better be God. Jesus is God. Muhammad was not God. Buddha was not God. Confucius was not God. Your cult leaders are not God. And of course, if you reject God or say you can't know God, agnosticism, whatever, you're going to remain empty. That God-shaped vacuum remains empty. Only Jesus Christ and only the real biblical Jesus can fill that palace of yours, fill your heart. Scripture with Scripture, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ is in all believers. If you're saved, Jesus is inside. Let's look at Romans 8. Run a few references here real quick. Romans chapter 8. Beginning in verse 8. Romans 8:8-11. I'll read verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We talked about that, I think, Wednesday night. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's what Jesus said. You must be born of water. That's your flesh. And spirit. That's being born again.
Amen.
If you've only been born of water, when your mother's water broke and gave birth to you, you've got that one, but you better get the other one.
Amen.
That's why when we sing happy birthday, we sing two Amen. Verses.
Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear so-and-so. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Johnny.
It's
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
And then we sing verse 2. Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do.
Yep.
You took the gift of salvation, so now you have two.
Amen.
That's why we sing that. It's absolute theological truth.
Amen.
And it's fun to sing.
Yes.
So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Read verse 9 with me. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. See that? This, if you're saved, then the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Spirit of God isn't dwelling in you, you're not one of his. You're not saved. Verse 10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. Now read verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Amen.
There's coming a day. If you're alive when the rapture happens, you go up. If you're not, your dead body will come up out of the grave, or if they buried you at sea, out of the ocean, or if they... if you were cremated, you come out of your jar, whatever the case may be. And God's going to put all that stuff together, and he's going to then glorify it. It'll be better than it was before. You'll no longer get sick. No longer get tired. You're going to be just like Jesus. You won't be an eternal God like he is, but you will have eternal life, which he is. He is eternal life. So when you're raised in that new body, that glorified body, you will have eternal life now embodied in you. You have that now legally in you. Legally, you're as good as done when it comes to salvation.
Amen.
But we're still living out this life until the time comes when the Bible calls it the regeneration of all things. The restitution, because originally that's what God would have had us live in the first place. But sin came into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So you must die. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, if you go in the rapture, you won't die, but your life comes to an end right now, and that was pictured in Enoch.
Yep.
Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And we're, if you're alive during the, when the rapture happens, you're like Enoch. Yep. Bunch of Enochs going up. So, there it is. You can go and get a t-shirt with that on it. And it'll be true. Jesus inside. If you're saved, Jesus is in you.
Amen.
Another place is 2 Corinthians. Turn there real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 13. Love the sound of pages turning. Those of you using phone apps, you should get some kind of sound effect. So when you 2 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. I'll read verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And then we're told this, read verse 5 with me. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. See, that's just a true fact for all believers. If you're saved, Jesus is in you.
Amen.
Boy, shouldn't that change some of the habits and some of the thoughts and some of the things. I call this a dispensational truth because this was not true under Mosaic law.
Yep.
If you go back before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all still under Mosaic law.
Yep.
That's why there was still a temple. They were still killing animals, still shedding that blood, still keeping the Sabbath on Saturday. All that was under Mosaic law. And at no point will you find any of the prophets preaching that you must be born again So you need to believe the gospel and be saved. They didn't preach that. Why? It was a different dispensation. What they were telling people was, he's coming. But people didn't understand that. So what did God do? God set up this system with animal sacrifice where they would kill an animal, and with that blood, they would then offer an offering for their sin, but it couldn't do away with their sin permanently. It was a temporary covering. And when, we'll just pick one of them. We'll say King David. When King David died, he didn't go to heaven. He went to a place called paradise.
Amen.
Abraham's bosom.
Amen.
We're going to study that in depth in Luke 16 when we get there. And they were in paradise. So it was like, you know, I mean, if God said, you can come to heaven, but first you have to go to Hawaii for about, 10 years or something, I'm not going to complain. I mean, you know, I'd say, okay. You know what I'm saying? Well, if you could remove most of the people from Hawaii, it would be paradise. But let's say there's this place like Hawaii, and you had to go there until Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, comes. But before he comes, the sin of the world hadn't been taken away. Yep. So that's why God didn't take him directly to heaven. He put him in this place called paradise. And then when Jesus died and shed his blood, the perfect blood of God in human form, he shed the blood that paid for all those sins that had a temporary covering. And that's then when he goes to paradise and takes captivity captive and leads them to heaven. See? Amen. And then since that time, anyone who dies in Christ doesn't have to go hang out in paradise. They go directly to heaven. The third heaven, where we call heaven, where the angels and all that is. See, but under the Mosaic law, is a different situation. And so I just want you to understand that. It's also not going to be true during that 70th week of Daniel, because that goes back under Mosaic law for 7 more years.
Yep.
Go to Daniel 9, 24 to 27. It talks about confirming the covenant.
Yep.
Sorry, but our modern prophecy teachers have caused so much confusion by changing the Bible.
Yep.
And they'll say it's a peace treaty. Read it. It's not a peace treaty. And no, not even in the original.
Yep.
The peace treaty that they talk about, they've conjured up. What happens is that the Antichrist confirms the Mosaic covenant again.
Yep.
The 69 weeks were under the Mosaic covenant. The 70th week will be under the Mosaic covenant. And it'll go right back to the way it was under the Mosaic law.
Amen.
And it'll also be that way during the millennial kingdom. Right now, we walk by what?
Faith.
And not by?
Sight.
During the millennial kingdom, they'll walk by sight.
Yeah.
Yep. Jesus is on earth right there with them, sitting on a throne in Jerusalem, and you can go visit him. See the difference?
Yep.
Things that are different are?
Not the same.
Amen. So with that, wrap this thing up with a little reality check. And that is why we do not fellowship with unbelievers.
Amen.
If you're already married, and sometimes people get married and then they get saved, and so they're married to an unsaved person. And that's a bad situation, but you were already married, so you shouldn't leave that spouse. 1 Corinthians 7 explains all this. Shouldn't leave them. But if they leave you, you're under no bondage. We could go into all that. But if you are not married yet, and you're thinking about getting married at some point, here's the Bible truth. You should not marry an unbeliever.
Amen.
Amen.
But you see, that's also true when it comes to your fellowship. You can't fellowship with unbelievers. It's impossible, but people try it anyway, and it's disastrous.
Amen.
We should not fellowship with unbelievers. And Jesus explains in verse 23. Go back to Luke 11, look at verse 23. Jesus says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Why? Because those people don't have his spirit. If they're not saved, they have the wrong spirit. You can, the yoke is, you take one animal and a different kind of animal, and you yoke them together with the wooden oak, and it'll be a chaos. And you take the same animal, equally yoked, put that yoke on them, and they'll work for you. That's the picture he's given us. That is why ecumenicalism, which I think I spelled wrong there, is such a betrayal of the Lord Jesus. Ecumenicalism, misspelled there, is a movement that is calling everybody to just hold hands and sing Kumbaya. When you join with non-Christians and or apostates, that's someone who claimed to be a Christian at some point and now they totally are teaching a false gospel and denying the faith. When you do that, you are being a Judas.
Amen.
Why? Because you are betraying your Savior that you say is your Lord. And your Lord has said, don't yoke up with unbelievers.
Amen.
Rick?
I think the modern term for that they're using now is intersectionality, where people have a common goal, but everything outside of that goal is completely different.
Yeah.
And once that goal is accomplished, they will turn on each other and one will try to destroy the other.
Yeah. And that's what happens with Satan's crowd all the time.
Yeah.
They may work together for a while, but then they turn on each other. Liberals, I always say, are cannibals. They devour one another. Look at, again, Andrew Cuomo. You know, he's just an example, the most recent example. Look at this over in 2 Corinthians. We're getting to wrap it up, but there's a couple places we've got to look as we close this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And if you haven't marked this in your Bible, please do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Second Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Can't make it much more plain than that. Amen?
Amen.
And now you know I wasn't making it up. Good Bereans should require. Hey, all right, that's you said that. Now, preacher, show us where it's at in the book.
Amen.
Well, there it is. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God that you are? You are the temple of God. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See, that's the ramifications of what we were talking earlier, of Jesus Amen. Being in you, the Spirit of Christ in you. And now that he is in you, you should have fellowship with others who have Christ in them. But it's impossible for you to have any real fellowship with an unbeliever. Yeah. They have a different spirit. Read verses 17, 18 now. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Churches are destroying the unity of the faith by yoking with other churches and groups that are not even Christians. But on an individual level, you will destroy your life as far as what God intended for you if you unequally yoke.
Amen.
And it's happening all too often. When you seek or follow Christ rejecting counselors, teachers, and preachers, you are forfeiting God's blessing.
Yeah. Right.
Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Psalm 1. This is a great memory verse, but verses. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. I want you to get there. Turn there real quick. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Take your time. I'm not rushing you. We're not Russian. We're American.
Amen.
Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Now read with us. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen, if you are spending your time watching, listening to, or reading people who are not God's people, who are not subjecting themselves to God's word as their authority, you are begging to be misled. You are begging to be destroyed. You are inviting that into your life. You're blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There are Christian women, for example, who turn on The View or The Talk and used to watch Oprah and all that, and they get brain rot from it. There are men who will watch unbelievers and listen to unbelievers but have no time to get into the book, no time to listen to Bible preaching. And they stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful where they hang out. That's where they go. That's the crowd they like to be around. And listen, if that's the crowd you like to be around, the old saying wasn't just made out of thin air. Birds of a feather flock together. Whatever, whoever it is you're hanging out with and spending your time with and feeding on, that's what you are becoming right now. Not just future. You are on the path. And Jesus has told us all this, and I want to challenge you today. If you are doing any of those things we mentioned, you are allowing the strong man, not the stronger man, control your life. And you are inviting him in, the strong man, instead of the stronger man, Jesus. Jesus says in Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He's not your Lord. You can talk, you can call him Lord till you turn blue in the face. He's only your Lord if he is your Lord, which means you do what he says. And if you don't, he's warned you, and you will suffer the consequences. Because he's not a heavenly warden that keeps you under lock and key. If you want to follow your will instead of his, he'll let you. Everybody loves free will till it blows up in their face. Amen? It is a contradiction, and it is inconsistent to claim to be a Christian and call Jesus your Lord and do not the things he says. And that's where we'll pick up next time.
Amen.
Let's sing about it in your hymn book, page 394. And as you turn to 394, I surrender all. Listen, you really shouldn't sing this song if you don't mean it. I mean, if you really don't surrender all to the Lord, then you're lying. I try to remind you, when we sing this song, these songs and the hymns, it's not like just a bunch of people sitting around the bar singing. Sadly, that's how a lot of Christians approach church services and singing the hymns. I've been in bars where this before I was saved, by the way, just to clarify, I'm not running around hanging out in bars, but before I was in my BC days, I was sitting around the bar, and I'm telling you, I can't remember how many times a hymn would come on the jukebox. Everybody shouting, yeah, amazing grace. They sing it. Sing right along. Sweet hour of prayer. I can't remember which one of the country singers that was a big hit in the 80s. They redid it. So it was on all the jukeboxes. He said, "That's terrible." Well, it's not any worse than Christians who come to church and sing hymns they don't believe and don't mean. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we should remember the prophets talk about apostasy in Israel, and he said that their lips praised me, but their hearts were far removed. I don't want you to do that this morning. I want you to sing this and mean it. So I'm going to ask you to stand. But before we sing, I want to give you the opportunity right now, with repentance in your heart, bow your head if you get distracted, close your eyes, and say, Lord, I'm not running on emotion here. I really am sorry. I call you Lord, but I don't do the things you say. You may even be guilty of some of the things we talked about here this morning. And you say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I do really surrender to you. I want you to take control of my life. If you're not saved here this morning, you need to get that taken care of before you start worrying about how you're living. It starts at the cross. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He's paid for your sins with his shed blood. He was buried, and after 3 days and three nights, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. Right now, you can repent of whatever it is you've believed up to this point, whatever sin you've been holding on to, whatever it is, drop it and turn empty-handed to the Lord and believe how that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again for your sins, conquering sin and death on your behalf. And right now, you can be saved. But if you are saved, don't settle for just saying you got your name up there and you're going to heaven and you're going to then live for the world. No. Jesus is Lord. Make him Lord of your daily walk in life. Surrender all. You can tell him right now, Lord, I just want to surrender to you. And then, as we sing this song, everyone, pay attention to the words and mean it. And if you can't mean it, you can stop right there while we're singing and talk to the Lord and get things right. You can do that anytime. So let's go ahead and sing page 394, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Oh.
Father, we just thank you for this time together in your word. May your Holy Spirit have his way. And may all of us fill our hearts with the stronger man, with the word of Christ,
amen,
with his Spirit. And we just thank you, Lord, for everyone here today who is saved. We will praise you throughout eternity. And we give you thanks right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Those online can still send prayer requests to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Those who are still here, get your prayer cards, bring them forward. Raise your hand. Janie will collect them and bring them forward. And we'll say goodbye to the folks online on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Have a wonderful day.